We make thousands of decisions throughout the course of our day, and by the end of it, the last thing we want to do is make even more choices about what to have for dinner. Say goodbye to last-minute grocery store runs, meal planning, and recipe stress when you sign up for Home Chef. Home Chef makes your nightly routine easier and more exciting with a wide selection of delicious meals that arrive at your doorstep in the form of fresh, perfectly pre-proportioned ingredients and an easy-to-follow recipe card. With 20 unique and flavorful chef-curated meal options available each week, Home Chef ensures you and your taste buds will never get bored. Once you create your Home Chef account and set your meal preferences, you simply select your weekly menus and adjust your delivery dates, skip weeks, or pause whenever you need. Home Chef will recommend meals based on your selected preferences with plenty of menu options to fit any dietary needs. Looking to master the art of cooking? Check out their classic meal kit options complete with chef-written, step-by-step instructions. Don't have time in your busy schedule to cook? No problem. Have a hot, delicious meal on the table and a snap with quick solutions like their 15-minute recipes, microwave meals, and oven-ready options that save you time and effort in the kitchen. Plus, cleanup is a breeze. Goodbye grocery shopping. For a limited time, go to homechef.com/PC1 for $90 off your first month. That's a value of 10 free meals. Again, go to homechef.com/PC1. That's PC and the number one for $90 off.
Do your friends tell you you should start your own podcast? Or are you the friend that has a great idea for a show but don't know how to get it started? Now's the time to take it to the next level with Self-Made, the podcast edition. Podcast One and Launchpad One are giving you the opportunity to become the next great podcaster. Compete for a year-long contract worth $100,000 with Podcast One, the biggest podcast network in the business. If you have an existing podcast or you're looking to start your own, Self-Made is for you. Open submissions are happening now through September 3rd. Go to launchpadone.com/self-made to learn more. See official rules and sign up for your chance to win. That's launchpadone.com/self-made.
Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, the very talented Deborah DiGiovanni talks about a family of raccoons who moved into her apartment.
It's the summer, it's beautiful, but I'm basically, you know, I'm lame the entire time, so I don't get to use the roof deck. So this is the first time, right? I don't get to use it. So I was just like, oh, you know, that was going to be the highlight of the whatever. But because I didn't get to use it and surrounded by trees, a family of raccoons took over. And I just opened the door and it was covered with raccoons. Some of them were like sunning themselves on my picnic table. There was one lying on top of the barbecue. Like they had made themselves at home. Like they looked at me like, did you bring snacks? Like they couldn't believe that I was bothering their wonderful vacation spot.
Today on the show, comedian Deborah DiGiovanni talks about her most troublesome apartment. Stay close.
Hey, my name is Deborah DiGiovanni, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Hey! Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. You're a longtime fan of the show of over 11 years, or you're a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with author Erica Schickel. This girl, boy, I'll tell you what, I read her book, her new book called The Big Hurt. I read it about a month ago, but we weren't recording for like, you know, in another 4 weeks because we're trying to like line it up with when the book comes out, etc. And I wanted to talk to her so bad because her book, like I said, The Big Hurt is just really good. It's a memoir and it's just extremely powerful. And I think it hit me in a specific way. You know, it's about making, you know, the same mistakes over and over again. And it's about, you know, men. Anyway, go back, you guys. Listen to Erica Schickel. She's brilliant. Her book is brilliant. And I was really lucky to have her on the show. But not today, you guys. Don't go anywhere because I'm here finally with somebody who I've been dying to get on the show, Deborah DiGiovanni. I met you, Deborah, I think it was at the Improv.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and I've seen you perform several times. And you're so... you know, you're one of those comedians that you just take control of the stage and the and you have such a wonderful presence and people like you immediately.
That's nice.
It's true. And you've got a beautiful smile and your laugh. So you laugh at yourself, you laugh at, you know,
just but being on stage, just joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is. Yeah. And it's so beautiful. It really like rings authentic and you make everything very accessible. You know, it's true. It's totally true. And I think we have a few things in common, and that would be that we're both from large families.
Yeah. Oh, are you too?
I'm the youngest of six.
Okay.
And you're like...
I'm four of five.
Of five. Yeah. Right. So when I listened to you on other podcasts, I was laughing at, you know, some of the stories about... You know, the kids in the car and in the 70s and station wagons.
Yes, the station wagon always facing the back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Because I was the youngest. Well, you two.
That was it. The two youngest were in the back.
You had to face the rear. It was so bizarre.
Yeah. Watch cars driving at you.
Waving, being goofy. And one of the differences between us is that you grew up in Canada.
Yeah.
And I grew up here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we took our yearly summer drive, you know, we would go down the shore, which is New Jersey. And your family would take you guys, put you all in the wagon to take you across Canada.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What the hell?
I know.
And there was no air conditioning.
Because that's the thing, with a big family, right? Like, there was never flying. It was always driving. You know, that's not...
Yeah.
Flying is for families of four. You know,
of that's course. Just not, we also yeah. didn't ski. You know, there was no skiing.
No.
There was no like water skiing either.
Nothing fancy.
Nothing
that required equipment.
No. Yes. Yeah. Of course not. We had a ball.
Yeah. I was going to say frisbee.
That's funny. So what kind of car did they have growing up?
It was a big old station wagon, a Cutlass Sierra or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Very classic. Like, if you've never seen a station wagon, Google it and that will come up.
Yeah.
With the wood paneling on the side.
That's what we had. I think it was called the Cutlass Supreme.
Ooh.
And that is so funny. And that big-ass door in the back.
So classic. Yeah,
yeah.
So classic.
And then my family had to put, like, a box on the roof to hold the luggage because you couldn't...
Same thing.
You couldn't
Same thing.
Put
my mother used to call
car.
It the Big Mac. Do you know what I mean?
That's funny.
To put all the stuff?
No, we did too. We called it the hamburger, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we had to. It's like, because that's what it is. It looked like a takeout, you know, a classic hamburger box.
That's really funny.
Because that was it too. Like, when we were all in the car, there was no space, you know, you had to pop up the back seat.
Right.
There was no space for storage, you
know? None.
So, yeah, that it had to go upstairs.
And a lot of times, there were three people in the front seat.
Yes.
Because it was all bench
seats.
Well,
I guess for you, there would be, yeah. Because you've got one extra eight, yeah. Oh my God,
bench seats, yeah.
People can't understand what a big family. I mean, if you've never experienced it, it's like people don't do it that much anymore, unless you're, you know.
No, because you can't care for them properly.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's too much. But you also have to be a billionaire to have more than three children now. Yeah.
Yeah, but also, even if you had all the money in the world, somebody's gonna not get parented all the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like. They're going to drop the ball at some point because they're not going to...
At some point.
They're tired. They're tired.
They're tired.
They figure that you heard it from your other siblings.
Yes, exactly. That's what they're hoping.
Like, what I heard from the birds and the bees was from my older sister, Karen, and she told me that a boy puts his hot dog in your bum.
Oh, God.
So that's what I got.
Oh, my God. My sister told me that pads went under your armpits. I was just like, really? Are you sure? And that's what she thought. That's what she told us.
One time my brother, one of his jobs, you know, growing up, because he was the only boy and five girls, he had to burn the trash. We had a burning barrel. You know, you just burn the trash in this big steel can in the backyard. And he would take my sister and I down to burn, you know, watch him burn the trash, and then he'd unwrap my older sister's sanitary pads that were bloody, and he'd say, "This is gonna happen to you."
Oh God! Oh my God! That's
my
torture.
I know, that was my sexual, you know, education right there.
That's how they do it. Oh my God! See, we were four girls and one boy as well.
Which again
is a whole other thing.
Do you have nieces and nephews?
I do. I've got 5, 3, 2. Yeah, so I've got 10 in total.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot. At first, it's so fun, right, to have a little baby around. And then another one. We're the same way. You know, after the fourth or fifth niece and nephew, I'm sorry, we're dropping off.
I'm sorry. Remembering birthdays?
Oh, my God.
As if that's happening. I'm sorry.
Are they in Canada? I feel so bad,
but I'm just like, yeah, everyone's in Canada. They're all sort of in the same area now, too. Everyone's East Coast. They're all in Ontario. So sort of like around Ontario.
What was your period that you didn't see anybody during the pandemic?
Well, I haven't seen my father in 2 years.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God, still?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. No, I haven't seen my entire family in 2 years.
Oh, my gosh. Do you want to go back soon?
At the beginning of 2019, I was on tour, and then there was going to be a stint, like I was supposed to be in Canada for April of 2020, and then that, of course, canceled. So all of, it was probably like since September 2019, I haven't seen my family.
Are you planning to go? What's the plan?
I mean, we're still trying. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still, even though everyone's vaccinated and whatever, it's still, my father's 86.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, we're all just trying to be as careful as possible. One of my sisters has a compromised immune system. So it's just like, you know what I mean? We're all being as safe and as cautious as possible. So, yeah. Hopefully Christmas is what the goal is.
That would be really nice. But that's it's a mature and safe decision. Believe me, that's not a bad choice at all. I was in Nashville last week, and it's like, you know, it's like the deep south, man. And I thought to myself, I'm not going out of town for a while.
I know. And I'm okay with it. I really am. It's like I see everyone in their busy, busy schedules, and I'm like, God bless you, but I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people would tease me, but I just don't care. I'd rather be cautious. I'd rather be safe than sorry. Yeah. I don't think people should
be making any medical choices for anybody anyway. You know what I mean?
No, God, no. Do what you want. Do
very
what you need
personal.
To do.
It's very personal.
I mean, don't do anything to harm others, but whatever makes you feel comfortable.
I agree. All right, so today, Deborah, you bring forth the topic, my most troublesome apartment. And I'm anxious to hear your story. I have also had a lot of apartments in my life, and I've dwelled in many places. Like, if I were to, you know, think about them before I go to sleep, I would fall asleep before I could.
You would be like counting sheep.
Yeah. And I really want to get your story, and I'm excited to hear about it. But when you talk about apartments in general, there's nothing wrong with renting your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard for people sometimes where I'm from to get their head around that, because they think all there is getting a house. I mean, that's really number one. Even probably before marriage, everybody, they think they have to buy a house. And I don't think they realize that, you know, unless you've got a lot of cash, you're still going to be paying something, whether you're paying the mortgage or the landlord. You know, you're not really...
You're paying
something.
Yeah,
you're not living for free.
Absolutely. See, yeah, my father was always like, you know, about buying. He was like, well, the money's going back to you. Rent is like burning money. And I was like, but it's not, though, because I'm alive and I'm living. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not, Dad. It serves a purpose.
I know.
Yeah. That's a very different generation, though, that sort of like, you're crazy if you're not buying.
It exists now, that generation,
sure.
Because people don't, they still don't get their head around how people live in New York and L.A. and San Francisco.
Yes.
I have totally, I do want a house. I do want, you know, a garage and some space. But at the same time, I'm resigned to, I'll probably rent that house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm same, absolutely totally the same. And, you know, there is something about being a renter that when something goes wrong, you just call and say, send someone over. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Totally.
It's like, it's not trying to find someone reputable and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, just do this and it's done.
Yeah, and it can also...
You know? There is something about that.
There's a freedom to being able to, you know, maybe move or choose a different place. Or I don't know. I don't know. But I definitely, my first thing is location, location, location.
Yes.
So I'm going to choose to live in this apartment any day over the mansion where I'm from.
Oh, God,
you know? Because
where you can afford something. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing.
When I think about moving back to Pittsburgh, like that size house, like let's say a 3,000 square foot house, which is pretty regular, I think of the heating and the cooling.
Oh, I know. And the water and everything. It's like, yikes.
Yeah, and then I also think about safety. Like, oh my gosh. Okay, if I have an acre of land or even a half acre and I scream, you know, who's going to hear me?
Who's going to hear that? I was going to say, how far does that reach?
I know. And if I scream in this apartment, I got like at least 80 people are going to say.
Complaining.
Yeah, complaining.
Keep
Fair
it down.
Enough. But if I'm yelling fire, maybe they'll respond,
Seriously,
you know?
Seriously, I was going to say there is safety. There really is. There really is safety in an apartment.
Yeah, though, when I go back east and I stay with my sister, whoever I might stay with, I do think about, oh my God, like I'm my own bathroom, my own bedroom, which is fine. But I'm like upstairs in the corner. I don't even know where anybody is. Like, it can feel lonely in this private place more than you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mother's neighborhood and my sister's suburban neighborhood, everybody's chatting about each other and the neighbors and when their cars are coming
so
in.
So much drama.
They know everything
everyone
going
knows
on.
Each other. Everyone knows what everyone is doing at all times.
Yeah.
It's like Instagram come to life.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's so funny. And like in LA, I don't know anybody. I mean, I do, but you know what I mean?
But
like,
you don't, because there's no sense of neighborhoods. There's no sense of community here. So you're very, well, the anonymity too is kind of nice as well.
Yeah.
Do you know, there is and there isn't, but it's like, again, in an apartment building, it's like you're anonymous, but you're close enough. Enough that if something happens, you're
it's funny.
You're
my
really
daughter has a couple friends who would rather. They say maybe they're jagging me, but they say that they would rather live where my daughter lives when I live in this apartment complex because it's more like fun because they can go outside and run around, and their houses are again their own little islands and nobody's passing by. You know what I mean?
No, I was gonna say if you don't have next door neighbors, then what?
I have such a fear of being totally alone, and that could be from a big family. Yeah. Do you have that?
I do. I don't ever want to be somewhere rural. Like I am always like my brain has always been like urban all the time. City. Always want to have a city.
Always. I know.
Yet never had that desire to be like a little place in the middle of nowhere. That does not appeal to me at all.
No, it seems so. It seems so. I don't know, antiquated to want to live.
I think it's
back
scary,
there.
Lonely, weird. It just doesn't do it for
me. Either. Anyway, so I'm excited to hear your story about my most troublesome apartment. But before we do, I want to tell everybody that we are finally back at the Hollywood Improv on August 28th at 7:30 p.m. And Deborah, do you remember what happened when you were booked to do the show and what happened that day?
No.
You were booked to do Story Smash. And, as a producer and as a comic, you know the weight put on, that it's important that you show up, et cetera, because the producer, and you want to get asked back, you need to kind of do what you said you would do.
Yeah, you're messing someone up.
So now it's Saturday afternoon, and you have to cancel, remember? And you sent me a picture of you with your hospital band on because you were in Sears.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, Deborah, I would have believed you.
Oh, was that my rib thing? That was my rib. Oh, God, yeah. You know what it happened? Okay, yeah, that's a whole other story.
No, but I remember. Something fell on you or something.
Yes, yeah. No, it was, I had fallen, and what had happened is that, like, I'd fallen and, like, smacked myself in a way that the thing in your, like, solar plexus area that keeps your ribs, it's not attached, but they're sort of like leaning on each other. It moved. And one of my, the front of, I know that. And like one of the little ribs was kind of like ding, ding. And every time I took a breath, it was like, it felt like it was going to puncture. And
so
it was
sticking out.
Yes, pretty much. And then I had gone for like a walk. It was like, I can't draw a breath. And then, I thought I was having a heart attack. I mean, honestly. And then,
because it was a stabbing pain.
Yes,
obviously.
Yeah. And they always say, anything like that, chest pain is like, immediately go. And then, God bless, I think I had two friends come with me. And then after 6 hours of whatever, they were like, this, you're not going to believe it, but this is what happened. And it was really just one of those things where, like, I had to do a little, like, physio for it. But it was really just like, there are things that you really can't, ribs, toes, they can't. You know what I mean? They can bind
you. Well, they bind them.
But they can't do, they can't put a cast on you. You know what I mean? So it was just like, anyway.
So then eventually that rib goes back into place.
Yeah, it did. And it did. But it was sort of like I had to be down and it couldn't be like, because you couldn't get to a point where you were that kind of breathing. Because it would dislodge it again. Oh. God, yeah.
It's terrifying. Did you see it on an x-ray? Like, yeah, it's sticking out.
Oh, but you know what, I must tell you, Cedars-Sinai, that was my first foray into Cedars-Sinai, and they were a delight. I have to tell you, they were really a delight. I remember, I think every doctor was handsome and stuff, which is always a bonus. Which is not going to ever hurt. You know what I mean?
Well, that's interesting.
That's not terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it depends. You know, I had my daughter at Cedars, and, you know, they have at some point, they have, at some times, Cedars has 30 babies a day.
Ooh.
So they can have like 1,000 babies every month or something like that.
Yikes.
30 times 30. I can't remember the numbers, but
I don't know.
It's a lot. No, it is. It's like 1,000 babies a month are born there. So when I was having my baby, every room was taken, and it was like, it sounded like like I just moved into campus and I was in my dorm room. People were going up and down. There's parties. There's music. There's like flower arrangements going back and forth. And it was insane.
Chaos.
Yeah, it was chaos. My ex-husband, my husband at the time, there was nowhere for him to sit.
Oh, my God.
So he had to sit on the floor. I had a bed, but there were no chairs at Cedars. It was like, so that hospital, it's a good
great,
hospital.
It's great, but it can be very, very busy. I mean, obviously.
Very, very busy.
Yeah, way too busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, my God.
All right. Okay. So listen, StorySmashShow.com, you guys. Go over to StorySmashShow.com. That's going to show you how to get your tickets, or just go to TheHollywoodImprov.com. Get your tickets, you guys. August 28th, 7:30 p.m. I've got Melissa Peterman, Danny Zucker, and Blanka Patch. Come on. You Fantastic. Cannot beat that team.
Oh my God.
I know.
Blanka Patch so much. Oh, my God.
We laugh our butts off. It's an hour and a half of pure joy. So come on down to The Improv, you guys. Go to StorySmashShow.com for the latest information. All right, you guys, she's here right now. You've heard her talking, Deborah DiGiovanni. She is a comedian that hails from Canada, like we said. And you have performed at the Montreal Just for Laughs Festival many, many times.
Many, many times. I've been very fortunate.
And they love you.
Oh, they're good to me.
Canada.
They really are. Yeah, they are good to me.
Amazing. And you've won the Canadian Comedy Award for Best Female Stand-Up many times.
Yes. Yeah.
Over and over. Yes. Now, what do you get for that? You get a trophy?
Yeah, pretty. You know, there used to be, there was years where there was cash, and then it just started being a trophy. And then one year they were like, we're going on hiatus. And then now it's like, I don't even know if they happen anymore. I mean, God.
So it's Canada. So funny, though. Well, but that's everywhere. Yeah, like, my show, Story Smash, like, a couple of times I got free iPads from Stitcher Radio, and I'm giving away iPads.
Yeah.
And then the next show, it's my cookies.
Yeah! That's, oh my God, that is so classic, like, the entertainment industry, isn't it?
It really is.
Stick around. That's why you need to go every week, because sometimes it's iPads and sometimes it's cookies.
That's exactly right. You never know.
Yeah.
And you also have done a lot of fun appearances, like you were on the Comedy Network 2012 version of Match Game.
Oh my God,
You were one of the judges.
I was like the center square. I was the top
was
level. It was so fun.
So fun.
That was honestly one of the funnest gigs. I did that for 2 seasons in Canada. It was one of the funnest gigs because, and you'll appreciate this, no preparation. You literally were unable to prepare because it was like, it was a game show, so we weren't allowed to know the answers. We weren't allowed to know the questions. It was just like, show up, get your hair and makeup done, and sit down. And it was so fun. That was so fun.
That's the best. Yeah. And so if you were trying to banter with another square, you couldn't see them, right? Or how did that work?
I could see the people beside me, but not below me. Like, because that was, you'd have to be way too gymnastic to see the people below you.
Yeah. So, but if they made a joke and you could top it or add a tag, you just said it and hope that you weren't stepping
on. It was really like, it was a free for all. Like, it really was. And the people that were, the producers, I'm sorry, the name escapes me, but it was the same people that like started Match Game.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, is it the woman that was
Rayburn.
With us? Oh my God, yeah. She was like 90 years old, was the head producer. She was amazing. She was 90 years old and wore 7-inch heels every day. I mean, she was like this kind of like, who are you? My God.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
Did the host have the long mic like Gene Rayburn had?
No, we all wanted that so much.
I wonder if that was like his host choice or was that a show choice?
Maybe. I don't know, right? Like, I don't know if he kind of signed off on that, like, no, didn't let anyone else use it. Although, does the new one with Alec Baldwin, does he have the long microphone?
I think he might.
Oh,
I think
cute.
He might.
Yeah.
Don't you get mad sometimes when the same people keep getting all the work? work.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I just want to like scream.
I know.
Conan O'Brien, spread it around every now and again. Stay in your lane. Yeah.
Spread it around every now and again.
Katie Couric, don't you have a daytime talk show or a nighttime show to worry about?
I know.
Why are you in podcasting? It's so frustrating. I know. Alec Baldwin. Like, he has to do all the audiobooks.
Yeah.
He has to do all the car commercials. Mm-hmm. He has to have the best podcast, be the best actor on the sitcom, on the movie theater.
And he's also a host of the whatever and the blah, blah. And it's, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, not that I'm angry.
No,
now, listen, you were on Conan O'Brien, and you've also were on Last Comic Standing, the fifth season.
The year with Amy Schumer.
Yeah, if you look at who's been on Last Comic Standing, it blows your mind.
Oh, I know.
I mean,
see, because at the time, you're just like, whatever. And then you're like, oh, no, I was on with Amy Schumer. Hello.
I mean, please, whatever. It's so interesting how many people were on that. So that must have been fun.
Oh, it was
fun. You got down to... What? I think it was
the third person to go.
Yeah, to go, as it were.
Yeah.
And if you stay on that show longer, do you make more money, as it were?
No. I mean, you keep getting paid, so technically, yes. And then, you know, it was only like at the time, I don't know if they did this for every season, but at the time, they would do like the top five would go on a tour. So they would make more money on that way. But I don't know if they did that every year. And again, Last Comic Standing was one, too, that they went for so many seasons and they took a hiatus and they came back and they changed it. And, you know, so they kind of.
Sure.
Yeah, they did many, many sort of versions of the show.
Yeah. I remember watching it and thinking, you know, if you were a comic on that show, it would behoove you to be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You think these people are going away?
Yeah, no.
You know, like,
no way. No.
These are the people you're going to spend time with.
We did sequester, but we didn't have to live in a house my season, so that was nice.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, God. Yeah.
I think that would be so uncomfortable, especially as an adult. You know what I mean?
That's like, exactly. It's not like you were 21. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're just out of college and you're used to being in a cluster.
No, I think I was like 34, and I'm like, please no. You know what I mean? Like, please don't do this.
No fucking way. No fucking way. And then you had a comedy album called Lady Jazz.
Yes.
And that's really exciting. Why did you call it Lady Jazz?
Do you know, because it was a joke. And the funny thing is, too, it was a joke, sort of like the title of a joke that, you know, that you'd write down in your set list of, like, to remind you. But it was a joke that is sort of like a throwaway joke. I don't even remember the last time I did it. It's sort of like, but it was just, it always made me, just the term Lady Jazz made me laugh. And the guys that were doing my album, they were obsessed with it. They're like, would you please call it Lady Jazz? And I was like, yes, 100% I will. Absolutely. And they just thought it was, I was like, yep, great.
I love it. I love it. It reminds me a little of Maria Bamford and her Lady Dynamite.
Yes, right? Yeah.
But I like the idea of Lady Jazz because to me, I'm thinking of like that means you've got many, like, I don't know, make many eggs in the basket or something.
Exactly,
you know, Lady Jazz, there's a little this, little this, and then we're going to let the piano take
and
over.
A little chaotic.
That's right. And let's throw it over to the drums. Yeah, all right, exactly, kick it out, you know, exactly, or whatever.
Never know
and
how then, it's going to end.
That's right. Yeah. And then beep, 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 pop. Yeah, you know, exactly. Next thing you know, you're scatting.
Exactly.
You guys can find Deborah D. Giovanni over on Twitter at Deborah D. Giovanni. Yeah. I'm going to spell it. I'm a giver. Oh. D-E-B-R-A. So the first thing, you're Deborah, is just D-E-B-R-A. There you go.
Yeah,
that's the difference right there. And then D. Giovanni is D-I-G-I-O-V-A-N-N-I.
Yes.
And you can also find Deborah over at her website, DeborahDGiovanni.com. All right, you guys, whoever you are, put your hands together for Deborah D. Giovanni.
Woo! Okay, so this, go back with me, everyone. It was the 90s. Oh, a good time. And it was in Toronto. This is when I was still in Toronto. This is pre-comedy. This is before I started doing comedy. I didn't know what I wanted to do at this point. I was answering the phone for a living. I was a receptionist at an advertising agency. And I had just scored this fabulous old apartment. And it was an old Victorian house. And it sat on the edge of a beautiful park in Toronto in a lovely neighborhood close to the subway. But it was fantastic. And it was one of those, it was very coveted because a mutual friend had been living in this apartment for years and years and years. And I remember, like, you know, going over for whatever, a girl's night, and being just like, oh God, if you ever want to give away this apartment, you know, please think of me. And then that happened. And she was moving, and she moved downstairs. So it was three apartments, ground floor, second floor, third floor. And so she's like, you know, it's available. So I took the third floor. And what it was like, you know, a typical Victorian house. So the third floor, it was you know, the it was a slanted ceiling, right? So it's like a triangular, right? Like it's a Cape Cod.
I actually grew up in that.
It's like a church kind of thing.
You can't always stand up in the room.
No, if you're really tall, no, you're going to be a little in trouble. So it was that, but the apartment was long rather than, you know, wide. Okay. So that was great. And it had a, the real sort of pull of the apartment is that it had this cute apartment, you know, great, but it had this roof deck that was like a beer commercial. Like it was gigantic. It like doubled the size of the apartment. It was so big. So it was just, I mean, it was just an absolute gift and it was beautiful. You're on the, you know, the third. So you had a beautiful view and it was surrounded by trees and it was just lovely. So, you know, spent a lot of time out there, you know, the minute it was, you know, spring to fall, it was an extra room and I got one of those heaters that you could, you know, put through and it was just, it was fantastic. A lot of barbecues, you know what I mean? I had it fully decked out. It was just really, really, you know, a real extra to the apartment. And so that being, you know, in the third floor, I mean, the apartment was, you know, incredibly cold in the winter, very hot in the summer. Like an air conditioner didn't, it laughed, you know, it was just like nice dry because it was just so hot. And then it was, you know, again, so I spent a lot of time on the deck. And then I remember this one year, I can't remember what year it was. It might have been 98. And I'd been walking home from a friend who lived not too far away from me. So I'd gotten on the subway and I'd walking home and, you know, there was a little convenience store on the corner. It was maybe 10:30 at night and I'd gone in, I got myself a Diet Coke or something and I was walking home and there was a big library on the corner and they'd been doing construction at the library, right? They were restoring some parts of the library. I was like, okay. So as I was getting there, you know, 10:30 at night, summer, but still 10:30 at night. So it's, you know, sufficiently dark. And as I'm about to cross the street, I'm at the corner. I can see my house from where I am. Right. And, you know, construction, whatever. And, there was a sign that was like, please use the other sidewalk. But someone apparently had moved the sign. So I confidently walked to the other side of the street and fell into a hole and tore both of my Achilles tendons. And you know, I don't know if anyone's had this kind of injury before, but it's like the kind of thing that the minute it happens, you're like, oh, I'm in trouble. And it's, again, 10:30 at night, you know, I'm alone, I can see my apartment, and then, you know, that hole was deep, but it wasn't too deep. Like, if I was standing up, it would come to, like, chest. Okay, so I was like, okay, I can get myself out of here, right? I pull myself up and get myself up, but then I realize I cannot stand. There's no way. You know, I've been hobbled. I've literally been hobbled. You know what I mean? Both of them, yuck. And so then I basically did the army crawl. Hello. I did the army crawl to my apartment because it was like, there's no other way. I had also just moved into this apartment. Like truly 3 months earlier, I just moved in. So it's on the third floor, three flights of stairs and of just like, what am I going to do? And it was, It took me an hour to get home.
Okay, because first of all, yeah, there's no cell phone. There's no flip phone.
This is 1998, exactly. Right. Thank you for saying that because it's true. There was no cell phones. There was no texting. Right. There was no like whatever. And it was also the kind of neighborhood, like it was a nice neighborhood, but it wasn't the kind of neighborhood that I was going to scream and say, help. It just wasn't going to happen.
Did you get out of the hole?
This is the thing. So I get out of the hole. I drag myself over and I'm telling you, just drag, like honestly, the kind that you just like have to stop every 5 minutes. I'm crying because I'm in pain. Finally get to my apartment, drag myself. I'm not joking. It took me an hour, Christine. I swear to God. So I finally somehow get to the top and it's like, you know, the third floor, it's like stairs, stairs, stairs. Like it's going up. So right, it's really, you know, I'm sweating. I'm exhausted. By the time I get there, I get in fine. Okay. So, you know, call my work and say, leave a message and say, oh, I'm in trouble. I've really had an accident. Luckily I had a wonderful boss who came to get me the next day. I didn't do anything that night. She came to get me the next day and she was like, literally had, you know, called me at 6 o'clock in the morning and said, I'm coming to get you. We went to the hospital and then, you know, they did whatever they needed to do to me. But again, with Achilles tendons, they didn't snap. they were just torn. So it was like, I remember the doctors going, this would have been better if you would have literally snapped them because we could put it back together. But it was the same thing like the ribs where they were just like, you're just going to have to stay off of them. And I was like, oh my God. So it was like pain pills and they wrapped me. I was bruised from like ankle to hip. Like it was just, it was black and blue. Okay. So it was just, I had this moment. Okay. My God bless. She was such a, her name was Melanie. She was such a wonderful lady. And she, you know, stayed with me at the hospital. And then, you know, when we were leaving and she was taking me home, she had, you know, she was much older than me. And she had had the foresight to go, she got me some groceries. She got some whatever. And I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, you're on the third floor of an old house and you're just, she's like, I'm just making sure you're going to be okay for a couple of days. And I was like, oh my God. So I just moved in. And there was no, like, going up and it was not going to happen. Like, you just, it couldn't happen. Like, then there was no, like, just going out to the elevator, nothing. So I was pretty much trapped in the apartment. Okay, fine. So I was there. I was able to take a leave of absence from work. I was in, it was very rear window. I was stuck 3 months. Of, you know, a physiotherapist, you know, this is Canada, a physiotherapist would come to me, like it was a nurse that would come to me once a week, and we would do, you know, whatever we needed to do to, like, kind of make sure that I was going to heal. And but I was literally just sitting and propped, just.
What about your family? Were they around?
And again, and no one, and my brother was too young at this point. He didn't live in Toronto. Everyone was about, I'm going to say about 4 hours away.
Oh.
And at this point, my twin sister was on the West Coast. And so there was literally no one. Like, I mean, my dad definitely, my mom and dad definitely came up one weekend, you know, to make sure if there's, but what I started to have to do was and I had a friend, again, that was a neighbor, thank God for that. But what I had to do was I'd have to drag myself back out to the deck. And we made a pulley system. So I would put a key and lower the key down. My friend would grab the key and let themselves into the apartment. And so that's how we had to, and that's how I had people, you know, helping me out and whatever. But this is what, okay, so this is going on. It's the summer. It's beautiful. But I'm basically, you know, I'm lame the entire time. So I don't get to use the roof deck. So this is the first time, right? I don't get to use it. So I was just like, oh, you know, that was going to be the highlight of the whatever. But because I didn't get to use it, I'm surrounded by trees. A family of raccoons took over my roof deck. Like, and when I say a family, I'm talking like 12.
Oh my God.
Because Toronto's very raccoons, tons of raccoons. And I have a cat at the time. And it was just like, you know, so like I hadn't even, you know, the key, fine. My friend, you know, I gave her a copy. That was it. So it would be like a couple of weeks before I would go back out. And then one day it was a different person. My friend, she was like, oh, you know, someone else is going to come over. I was like, okay. And I had to go to the roof deck and I just opened the door and it was covered with raccoons. Like they were, some of them were like sunning themselves on my picnic table. Like they were like, there was one lying on top of the barbecue. Like they had made themselves at home. Like they looked
That's
at me like, did you bring snacks? Like they couldn't believe that I was bothering their wonderful vacation spot. Okay. So then I realized, okay, I can't do this now. I can't go back up. Cause I mean, it's like, there's a lot of them. You know, a raccoon will kill a cat. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And they used to taunt my cat too. They used to hang off the screen and scream and my awful. And then so this was weeks. And then, you know, my friend would come over and we'd like stand there and she'd stand there and I'd be sitting and I'm just like looking going, what are we gonna do? How do we get rid of them? So then, you know, I called whatever the city and I was like, look at
our animal control.
Yes, animal control. I was like, what do we do? And they were like, literally nothing. We're like, I was like, you don't understand. There's and also too, I don't know if you know this, but raccoon poo is toxic.
Oh, no.
And what they had done, what they had started doing, because they saw me, you know, coming out and they didn't like it. They didn't want me to come out. They started right under the door became their toilet. The door literally was a pile of raccoon poo that I couldn't even open the door. They just took over. They didn't care. And then I found out that I did a whole bunch of research. And then I found out raccoons hate the sound of humans. So they said, what you need to do is you need to get a radio and put a talk radio and just let the chatter go. They hate it so much. And then it was like, they were like, that'll drive them away. And then when they're gone, get someone to go out and sprinkle a powdered laundry detergent because they hate that as well. And I was just like, oh my God, it was weeks. And then I had to like hire someone to come over and like shovel the poo and rinse the, it was It was the summer of raccoons. It was just, it was.
Were laid up.
And I was like, you know, it was like, I'm saying, it was like Rear Window, except with raccoons. Do you know what I mean? I was sitting there watching them. Oh, it was insane.
How did you have a walker or did you?
Yeah,
have...
I did. I had one of those ones, like the half ones.
They're nice, like the, right?
Yeah, I can't think of what it is, but like, you
and
know,
then
you
can sit down. Too.
Yes, and they've got like a little seat that you can do. But I couldn't do. Like, I was going to do a wheelchair, but it was so high. Like getting a wheelchair upstairs would have been absolute insanity. So, but that actually it did work. So that's how I could go back and forth to the bathroom and whatever. But it was just and I literally would sit there with the door open and just watch these raccoons playing, having fun. They had the best summer of their lives. They had the best, a family reunion. They had a great time. I swear to God.
That is so funny. Did it ever cross your mind to like put chocolate up there or something poisonous?
No, I know that. No, it didn't, but next time it would. Because I swear to God, I was like, what if I got a BB gun? Like, what would happen right now? But they were just, and they taunted us.
They're so bold.
Oh, they're so bold. They're so, like, that was it. Like, I would scream and they would literally just like it was just, I'm sorry, you didn't hear that. It was just a glance. Like, I was just annoying them. Nothing scared them.
Did you see babies?
Oh, God, yeah. Babies. And you know, the thing is, I do like raccoons. They're very, very cute. But, like, I'm pretty sure I saw two raccoons, like, fall in love, get together, start a family. Like, it was, they were there the entire summer. They had the whole
It could have been
summer.
like Big Brother, but
I'm telling you, exactly. Who's going to get voted off?
That is so funny. That is really, really a crazy story. Mm-hmm. And then after you guys put the laundry detergent down, they did stay away.
They did eventually stay away. And then the, you know, the animal control who I talked to and vets and stuff, they're like, now you have to act fast. So they're like, you got to get someone to get rid of the poo. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they said, you got to like rinse it off. And then like, it was a series of like, you know, constant soap. And then it was just like kept doing. And then, you know, but then once I was able to get back out there and like have human out there, they don't come around again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So then
they're
done.
But because it was so deserted, they were like, nobody's here. And that's why they took over.
And the trees were over it, so there was, like, foliage.
And they were just, oh, my God, yeah. Like, and it was, you could just see them, like, wait, you know. And when we got to go back out there, you could see raccoons, like, coming by and being like, damn it, she's there. You know, they were, yeah. So it was me against the raccoons.
What talk radio did you play to scare
Oh, God, I don't even know. I think it was, like, it was definitely some, like, dry news. Two men talking about the NASDAQ or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Just, like, just killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they hate the sound of our voices. So it's like,
that
you ever have a problem,
so
chatter. Yeah.
I never heard that in my whole life. Okay, and then does the Achilles heel, does it just heal?
It does eventually heal. But it did take the full 3 months, though. It did take the full 3 months. And then I had to go to physiotherapy for a year, and it was a whole thing. And, you know, there's still, honestly, I mean, God, that was how many years ago? 23 years ago, 24 years ago. And they're still sensitive, though. They're still...
And so when I say Achilles, I said heel automatically. That's what it is, right? Yeah. But it's the back of your heel.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. My Achilles heel is actually my Achilles heel. It's like, that is exactly what it is.
Do you have to wear special shoes?
Yeah, I had to do orthotics and stuff now. Ugh. And it's like, it's because they don't, especially because like, again, like the doctor had said, like if they had torn, they could have put them back together, but because they just ripped, it was kind of like, let's see. So they never really, you know, they heal, but they're never like perfect again.
Yeah. Well, that's what people can happen to them, and then next thing, all they can do is like swim.
Exactly,
like, you can't put the pressure on your feet or your knees.
It changes things, you know. It changes, and now it's like whenever you know, whenever there's an injury, it's always my Achilles. Like whenever they're just a little weaker now. Yeah, they're a little weaker now.
You have no Canadian accent at all.
Oh, good.
Do you think you do, or do people
sometimes
tell you
do? You know what? It's one of those things when you're around Canadians.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it comes out.
So, like, the A comes back, eh?
Yes, oh, gosh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always think Canada is like, you know, it's just everybody up there seems so much more at peace. Do you think that's true?
You know what? I think it is. I think there is peace because you know what there is in Canada? Space.
Yeah.
That's what I think is one of the secrets of everyone. Like, why is everyone so happy? I'm like, because there's actual space. You have room to breathe in Canada. Like even in our big cities, it's not so populated that you just feel like people are on top of you at all times. And you can get space too. Like that's the thing. You can leave and easily get space.
Yeah. And do you guys have the political strife we do? Like is there that divided of a line?
No. I mean, there definitely is, but not nearly as severe as America. But our big thing is, you know, we've treated, the indigenous people in Canada so poorly, mm-hmm. so poorly. Mm-hmm. And that was always sort of one of the things that we pretended didn't happen for a really long time, you know, and all the political leaders would just be like, oh, look over here. You know, it was really ignored probably until about 10 years ago. And
oh
now
my
it's
God.
Really, now I know. I mean, you know,
it's hundreds just, of years,
hundreds of years, you know, and it's just, yeah, it's really horrible because, you know, people are always like, Canada's so great. And it's like, oh, guys.
And so what are we talking about? Canadian Indians?
Yes. Yeah. 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 Indigenous. So it is, it's like, it's native people of Canada because it's like, I mean, you know, the first settlers and it was, and there's a very big, Indian population in Canada, you know, especially in the middle of the country mm-hmm. and north as well. And
like the same the sort of territories. Tribes, the yeah. same tribes we
yeah,
have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there might be the
Cree and yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Arapaho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My, I had one of my boyfriends in high school was Cree.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and it's just, but so, yeah, and it's really been. Yeah, so we you know, everyone's like, oh, you're good. And we are. You know, there's a lot of really wonderful things about Canada, but politically speaking, we're not great either. Nobody is there a country that is, you know, it's a shame. But what we make up for it in healthcare and we make up for it in, you know.
Yeah. I mean yeah. that everybody's on board with the yeah. with the but it isn't a why am I not saying this right? It isn't a socialized country. Is it
No. Like, no.
Right.
No. More liberal, definitely more liberal. Like it would be way more blue. Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, way more blue. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
also just more. I've only been to Toronto. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually it. I always thought yeah. I'd work in. I always thought I'd work in. You know, straight north of us here in.
Yeah.
Where am I
in
talking
Vancouver,
about?
British Columbia.
Yeah,
so
and I've been
so
dying
fabulous.
To go there because
you really,
the pictures.
Please go.
I know.
It's so great.
I should just do it because I keep thinking like
you.
I'm waiting to get to work there. That's what I keep thinking.
Well,
I'll
you know
work
there. I think there's a new club just opened. So
yeah, maybe
yeah,
I will try
eye,
to get in
keep
there.
Keep your eye on Vancouver because it is just such a – it's so beautiful.
Did you ever do that train that goes from, you know, the one beautiful park to the other place?
No, but, you know, my mother and father did.
Yeah, my
and
family
and
did too.
And yeah, and it was like – it's something like a 13-day trip or something, and it's just, yeah.
And where train. Are they going to?
I think it's like they go from the Maritimes, which is the East Coast provinces, as we call
right.
them. So I think it's like New Brunswick all the way to Victoria, which is British Columbia, again, like the islands of British Columbia.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
But I would suggest you, honestly, my thing is, like, I love Toronto. Montreal is wonderful. There's so many beautiful spots in Canada. But British Columbia, for everyone that's on the West Coast, first of all,
yeah.
easy flight,
yeah.
two-hour flight. Same time zone. I mean, it's
you fly
just,
into Seattle and drive, or you
phenomenal.
Just fly to Vancouver.
Oh, you could. That's what you were saying. That's exactly it. Drive from Seattle
yeah.
is 3 hours.
I bet that's a pretty train yeah. too. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I bet. I've done
yeah,
the drive,
yeah.
and the drive is phenomenal. Yeah, the drive is phenomenal.
Well, this has been
yeah.
so much fun to talk to you.
Yay!
And I really
good.
Want to have you judging on Story Smash. I think...
Oh, God, I'll need to judge. I'll need to judge. Once you get it going again,
yeah.
I'd love to judge.
So I got the first one coming up, and then hopefully we'll be monthly. That's the goal. And I think
great.
I'm going to do
go
it virtually as well, because we did about 50 virtually, and I have a lot of fans on the...
I bet it went off
East
great.
Side. Yeah. So I think we're going to kick it back up that way as well on Rush Ticks.
Good deal.
And hopefully good. We'll get an audience
yeah,
there
yeah, yeah.
too, you know. And I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Yes.
Deborah DiGiovanni, you're amazing. Thank you so much for coming
on
the
so
show
much.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, pleasure's mine.
You guys, you gotta follow Deborah over there on Twitter and let her know you enjoyed her story. Find her at Deborah DiGiovanni. And then of course you can follow me over there as well at StoryWoody. Alright you guys, one more time on behalf of the very talented Deborah DiGiovanni, what a great story. Thank you so much.
Thanks everybody, bye.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.